All right. Well, it's 9:01, and in consideration of all the people who are here on time, I want to get started. You know, we probably will have a few people joining us in the next minute or two. But I'm a big believer that the people who are here on time deserve to get started on time, or at least as close to it as we possibly can. So, if you would, I would ask that all of you join me in an... Oops, Jennifer, you there? I think something...
I'm here.
Okay, good deal. So, something has changed on my screen, so I'm glad you're there. Okay. If you would please join me in an opening prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to be part of the family of Deer Springs Ranch. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your forgiveness. And we ask, Lord, that your spirit would be with us today as we work together as owners at Deer Springs Ranch to discuss important topics, to make decisions, and share fellowship as fellow owners. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us in our thinking, guide us in our hearts to make the right decisions. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So let's get started. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for joining us today. And for anyone who is new on the call, just a reminder that our call is being, I should say not a reminder for the people that are new, a reminder for the people that have been here before, and information for the people who are new, that we record all of our board meetings on Zoom, and we have a transcription service that allows us to take that recording from Zoom and put together a written list of the meeting minutes for future reference. So because of that, while we're having our discussions and conversations, we ask everybody to keep your computer or your device muted so that we're not hearing a lot of background noise. And then if you do want to make comments or suggestions, there are two ways that you can do that. You're certainly welcome to, you know, raise your hand or, you know, volunteer to make verbal comments for everybody's benefit. When you do that, when you unmute yourself, please start by announcing your name. You know, hi, this is Mike with Lot 270, and I would like to say da-da-da-da-da, whatever it is. You know, that way in the future, it's very easy for us to go back listening to those comments and identify who said what for the formal meeting minutes. And then the second way that you can do it is simply by typing a comment into the comment section. At the bottom of your screen, there is a chat function that allows each participant to either send a chat to an individual member, so you can simply share a comment with one person, or you can share a comment with everybody on the call. So those are the two ways that you can communicate during our Zoom meeting. Okay, so with that as a background, Jennifer, do you have anything that you'd like to add in addition to what I just said?
Nope, you're trainable, Mike. You got it all.
Yay! Would you please share that with my wife?
Yeah, happily.
We're still
when I need her.
We're celebrating our 40th wedding anniversary this year, and she's still trying to train.
Hi, son. What's our lot number at Deer Springs? There's a board meeting right now, a Zoom meeting.
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that comment. Would you please say that again?
That was Sally Miller. I think she was speaking, not realizing she was on on mute, asking perhaps her husband for her lot number.
Oh, okay. Okay, good deal. Well, let's get started, and we'll start off with Cindy Olson, who is our secretary. And Cindy, please take it away.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody.
I sent out a copy of the meeting minutes for January and had one small change to make. And at this point, as far as I know, there are no other changes to be made. So I move that we approve those minutes.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, all in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Thank you very much, Cindy. We appreciate that. And I'll say again, you do an outstanding job of going through the recordings and the transcriptions and getting rid of all of the nonsense and just, you know, getting it down to the most important information. So thank you again for doing a great job with that.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your appreciation.
Okay, and then next we'll move on to Joe Bose, who is our treasurer. So, Joe, take it away.
Okay, yeah, this is Joe. I got a message from Jennifer. We're at 47% collection so far for our dues, so we're doing pretty good so far. And we got $109,485 in our checking. We've got $61,229 in our savings. And $42.72 in our special savings. So everything's going along pretty smooth other than waiting to open up and spend the money on the cabins. That's what I got.
Okay, sounds good. Does anyone have any questions for Joe regarding any of the finances for the ranch at this point? Okay, I'll take that as a no, so we're going to move on. Thank you, Joe, for all you do. Yeah, just so everybody knows, when somebody accepts the responsibility as a, you know, as with a position on the board, you know, Cindy as our secretary, Joe as our treasurer, you know, it's, you know, everybody understands that that means that there's additional work take, you know, that they agree to take on and do behind the scenes. Obviously, Jennifer is our administrative office manager. But I think most people don't really understand how much time it takes on the back end. And I've heard from countless people, and I will say to you myself, that when someone accepts the responsibility, not only of being on the board in the first place, but also of taking on a position of, you know, responsibility as a treasurer, as a secretary, whatever it might be, you have no idea how much time it takes on the back end to actually fulfill that job and do it on a responsible basis on behalf of all of the owners. I will share with you, and I'm not saying this for anything other than to just try to help everyone have perspective and understanding. But this week alone, I have personally put in at least 10 to 15 hours of work on behalf of Deer Springs Ranch, in my capacity as president of the board. And that's okay. I mean, I signed up for that. I volunteered for that, and I'm happy to do it. But I just want to share with everyone that, you know, the people who are working on behalf of all of the owners spend a tremendous amount of time on the back end trying to get things done for the benefit of the ranch and for the benefit of all of the owners. And most of that goes, you know, unseen and unrecognized. But I see it, and I just wanted to share with everyone that, you know, in my opinion, it's just absolutely amazing to me that we have so many wonderful people, and not just the people that are on the board today, but all of the people that have been on the board in the past and will be on the board in the future, because it's a huge, huge responsibility, and we're so fortunate to have so many good people as owners at the ranch that are willing to step up and volunteer their time and help out. So I just thought I'd take a minute and share that with everybody. So,
hey, Mike.
Again, thank you to. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, it's Vance. 156. as much time as I've spent there, the way I equate doing, working, or, you know, being involved with the ranch is it's another almost, well, sometimes it's at least a part-time, sometimes a full-time job that you don't get paid for on top of your regular work that you do get paid for. It, you know,
absolutely.
Seriously, you can spend that much time on it without any trying at all. So anyway.
Again, and I want to be very clear here. I'm not just saying that for the benefit of the people on the board, but just as Vance just said, I mean, there are countless other individuals who spend lots of time and, in fact, lots of money, lots of time and money for the benefit of the ranch that has nothing to do with their own personal lot. You know, Vance Green is one of those people. I mean, Vance spends tons of time. Brent Fulmer is another one of those people. I mean, we are so lucky to have Vance and Brent and, Kathy and I couldn't put the list together. I just don't even know all of the people, you know, who have contributed so much. And, you know, Dan Wirt last year, Dan Wirt contributed over $5,000 of culverts for the roads at Deer Springs Ranch. I mean, it goes on and on. And again, you know, especially for the benefit of the people who are new owners at the ranch, it's just, you know, when I bought my lot 5 years ago, you know, I thought I'm buying 20 acres out in the middle of nowhere in southern Utah, and I'm just going to go up there and relax and enjoy those beautiful pink cliffs and go on hikes and have a lot of fun. And obviously that's part of it, but the other part of it is it takes a lot of work for, you know, to keep Deer Springs Ranch operating, and we all want to make it even better for the future. So we'll move on. So next on our agenda is Jennifer. So Jennifer, take it away.
Okay. Let's see. I've got three things to cover. QuickBooks, our parcel locker solution, and a question by Jeff Mickelson that's actually a very good one on what Joe reported with regard to our accounting. So I'll start with QuickBooks because I consider that to be kind of the crown jewel of progress that we've made as far as ranch business is concerned. We were using a desktop version of QuickBooks, and it served the ranch very, very well. For the last 5 to 6 years, it was the first time the ranch books were actually organized into a system when we jumped into QuickBooks, and I believe it was back in 2015 or 2016. But as technology tends to grow and improve, so did QuickBooks, and there's an online version, and that's good for a couple of reasons. Number one, access. I used this example with the board earlier, but I have a ranch cell phone, and with QuickBooks Online, I can do everything relating to ranch business now from this phone using QuickBooks Online. So it's faster response, it's more powerful, and it integrates better with some of the solutions that we're putting in place, like the new website with a reservation system that's less manual. So when you make a reservation, you'll get an automated response, an automated payment link. There's not sometimes a day or two in between those steps. So that's one of the big wins with regard to QuickBooks. And the second one is that QuickBooks will integrate with our bank account directly. And that's good for many reasons, the ones I've already mentioned, plus the fact that it's so much more accurate. So when all the deposits are made, when all the checks are written and cleared, it automatically goes into QuickBooks. So there's no room for human error. It makes reconciliation at the end of the month much smoother because all of the transactions are actually in QuickBooks. And then all I have to do is go and match them up with our records, with our invoices, and with our payments received. So to Mike's point earlier in the call, and I don't know, Mike, if you said this purposely based on our recent conversations, but there's a lot of manual work that goes into supporting ranch operations, from the behind-the-scenes things the boards do or the board members do to all of the detail work in this position and getting the website populated and handling reservations. So it may seem like a small thing and an expected thing, but getting our QuickBooks into this online version has been just a game changer, at least for this position. And I hope all of you will see the gains made once that's more, visible and experienced by you all. A quick update on the website. I believe we discussed this in last month's meeting. The website engine that we're going to be using is one that is specifically designed for managing an HOA. So it has things like a reservation system. It has things like a chat room, a bulletin board. You can post things for sale. You can post what you need. It'll have an area for volunteering. I know that's near and dear to Cindy Olson's heart. It'll have a gallery. You can post your photos in there. An information page, everything you could possibly want to know about the ranch. We can put the budget up there. One of the reasons I know I've had a few questions about the budget not being on the website any longer, and it's because our website is public. There is no login necessary to access any of the information on our website. So with the new version of our website, everyone will have their own individual profile to log in, and all those informational pieces will be accessible to everyone once you log in. There will be no more, hey, can I see this or can I see that or what about this contract or what about that budget item? So having that new website module goes hand in hand with having QuickBooks Online because they'll both be integrated as well. Like I already mentioned, reservations will go into QuickBooks. QuickBooks will talk to the reservation system. It'll be much, much more smooth, particularly because also as reported last month, we have a lot more cabin reservations coming in now. People are using the ranch differently, so we need to have business systems in place to handle that type of usage by our members as it continues to evolve. So before I move on to the package locker solution, are there any questions or comments on anything I've just mentioned? No, Mike.
Thank you, Jennifer. I just had one question on behalf of all the other owners. When do we anticipate having the new website operational?
I am hoping by early April. What we're looking at is the website engine's ability to fully integrate with QuickBooks. So it doesn't make sense for us to go live with the new website and reservation system before the QuickBooks integration is complete, because that'll just bring extra workload over. So we want the new website to be fully integrated with QuickBooks before it goes live. We'll just keep our continued system in place until we can do that. So we're hoping for early April. For those that don't know, Mariah's been still working behind the scenes with us here at the ranch. She's taken on the website project. So she and I have been busy with that, and we're trying to get everything done as quickly as we can. Great question.
Thank you for that. And a corollary to that, so I'm assuming prior to the go live date that you will be sending out an email to all of the owners with, okay, this is going to be our go live date. This is how you log in. This is the information you need to know. Is that accurate?
That is very accurate. And we are going to put the website at the same URL. So right now you access all this information at deerspringsranch.org. That will be the actual website address of the new website. So nothing will change except that when you access that web page, there will be a login page that welcomes you along with basic information, and that's how the instructions will be presented for how to create your profile.
Okay, sorry, one more question. So is this a website where the owners will create their own password, or are we going to be providing them with login information that they'll be required to use?
Another great question. It will be an independently assigned or an independently chosen password. So you will create your username. You will create your password. The only piece of information that we will automatically add to your profile is your lot number and your full name, because those two pieces of information are available in public records.
Okay.
Great question.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay. Actually, related to that, I'll just address what Jeff put in the chat for those who didn't see it. Jeff Mickelson was asking about the definition of those accounts that Joe mentioned in his treasurer's report. We have a main checking account, we have a main savings account, and we have a special savings account. Our main checking account is our working checking account. That's the money that we use based on the budget that was discussed last month. It's our annual budget. We project members' assessment fees coming in, cabin reservation fees coming in, and a few other revenue sources. And we have roughly 200 and $210,000 in income in a year that we spend against with our annual budget. That's our main checking account. Our main savings account is an aggregate sum over previous years when special projects were either scheduled within the budget and didn't get taken care of, so they carried over into a following year. Or in the cases of, as Mike mentioned, in last year, we had Dan Wirt. He's the owner of about 10 lots in the northeast corner of the ranch. He donated a considerable sum of money to cover the cost of the culverts to improve that road. So that's extra money that would have been put into a savings account. Now, the special savings account is one that we've allocated specifically for roads. Road expenses are notoriously difficult to project. So I think we have, $4,800 in that account now. And with all of the overages, the carryover funds for that account now, we will be up to $18,000 this year in addition to the $30,000 budgeted for roads. So we're going to be able to put some serious money into being able to get ahead of road projects because of that account in particular. And again, any road budget through, you know, better road conditions, we don't have to grade as often, whatever it turns out to be, any money that is unspent this year will go into that account specifically for roads as well. So the special projects account will have almost, I believe, $92,000 in it as of Monday. And the special savings account is the one for the special projects that Mike already has mentioned. So the answer to that is that we have a considerable sum in there, but we also have many more dollars in wish list special projects than that $92,000. So while that sounds like a very large sum of money, and why is it there and unspent, it's because there's a prioritization process involved with every project, and the board is taking care of that. And I write checks when the board says we've approved this expense. So that's the answer there. Okay, one last thing now, the parcel locker solution. Those of you that read the Member Matters email in early February, there was a link to complete a survey within that. Thank you to the almost 20 people that tossed in their 2 cents. We asked questions, would you use this solution? How long during the course of a year would you need this solution? How would you prefer to pay for this solution? And then how many packages per month do you think that you would receive if you use this solution? So the overwhelming majority said that they would either be using this solution immediately or perhaps in the near future. So 90% of the respondents said that they would have a need either immediately or in the future for a solution like this. The preference for how to pay for it is similar to the way we do our water hauling contracts, which is on an annual basis, a set fee for the year. You can receive as many packages as you'd like within that year period. And then number of packages received, most people were estimating that they would receive fewer than 5 packages per month, but there was a considerable number that thought that they would potentially use more than, or they would receive more than 20 packages per month. So we need a flexible space. And then as far as the length of time, most people would need it for a few months a year, which I'm guessing are our summer ranch residents. But there was still, again, a good chunk that would want it year round. So again, it needs to be a year round solution. So the board has approved us to enter the agreement to get that space set up. We're anticipating April 1st as a go live for that. So watch for more information. And again, that will be integrated with our new website. So that's the other driver of that date, is when the website is live, this package locker solution will also be live because it's going to be a reservation system. Any questions or comments on that?
Yes. I'm wondering if, did you send out minutes, and this, evidently I didn't see it. I get 50 to 60 emails every day, and unfortunately I miss things. I would have definitely filled out whatever. And so, if you've sent it, I guess I can go to Deer Springs Ranch and look up past emails.
How about Sally? I will email it to you directly right after this, okay?
Okay, and may I also have the minutes for the last meeting?
Those are posted on the website. I will include the link. I actually, we just
thank you very much. Because I really want to be involved, and I was at the annual meeting, and you all didn't know it because you all kept talking, and I heard the music and all sorts of things. You went into executive session, And then I didn't hear anything else, but I was there. So I want you to know that.
Okay,
and I'm
wonderful.
So glad there's a Zoom. Thank you for those that put this together. I'm very grateful.
Wonderful. I will get you all sorts of links, Sally. You will be completely up to speed.
Thank you.
Jennifer, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Joe.
Yeah, this is Joe. I just got a call from John Harris. He's couldn't get on this website for this next meeting. I sent him a copy of the email. He says that the host won't let him on. So can
nope,
you call John
in.
Harris and give him some information to get on?
Nope, he's in. I let him in.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I'm on. I made it now. I made it now, Joe. Thanks.
Good. He threatened to beat me up. I had to call you quick.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate that. I just want to add a couple. I want to add a couple of comments. Excuse me. I want to add a couple of comments regarding the package locker situation that we just talked about. And first, I want to just let everybody know that up until now, many people associated with the ranch have volunteered to use their personal residence or their personal business as an address for people to ship packages to. I know Larry Clarkson has had lots of things delivered to his house and then had people show up at his house to pick them up. Mariah did the same thing in the past. I know Jeff Mickelson has allowed owners to have packages sent to the Cowboy Bunkhouse in Kanab, and people just show up to pick up their packages. Jennifer is having stuff delivered to her house right now. And, you know, we've talked in the past a little bit about the fact that for the last 40 years, Deer Springs Ranch has been John, you might want to mute yourself. Thank you very much. So, you know, for the last 40 years, Deer Springs Ranch has been a wonderful little place out in the middle of nowhere in southern Utah that is absolutely, in my opinion, the best place in the world to have a place to go to relax and enjoy the outdoors and get away from all the nonsense. And it continues to be that and will be that forever, in my opinion. At the same time, up until just very recently, a lot of the things that have been done for Deer Springs Ranch by owners have really just been, wonderful activities, you know, wonderful contributions by individual owners on behalf of everybody else. And that's wonderful. I mean, we have people volunteering to help other owners out. We have people volunteering and going out fixing the roads on their own time, you know, at their own expense. All of that stuff is just absolutely wonderful, and we certainly all want that to continue. So we want to continue having that family, fellowship, barn raising, help each other out kind of attitude. But at the same time, in my opinion, we need to also be working to make Deer Springs Ranch, some of the systems, you know, some of the processes more formal and more structured and rely less on individual owner contributions and generosity, and instead have Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association take on the responsibility for setting certain things up that, frankly, shouldn't be left to individual owners' generosity and volunteering. And in my opinion, setting up this package delivery service is a perfect example of that. It's not going to cost the ranch a lot of money to get it set up. I think our estimated cost to just get everything set up, to even get it started in the first place, is around $500. So for about $500, we can get everything set up, have a system in place, just like we had to get everything set up and have a system in place for owners to haul water to their lots. You know, obviously, not every owner hauls water to their lot, but some of us do. And even for the owners who do haul water to their lots, some of them will only use that service for 1 or 2 months out of the year. Other owners use that service for, you know, 8 months out of the year. And so what we're doing is literally creating a system where owners can choose to participate or choose not to participate on a level that's appropriate for them individually, and have the Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association not only set that up, but also continue to manage that and, you know, provide support for that service on an ongoing basis. It takes the burden off of any individual owner to have packages delivered to their house and then have other owners come pick it up. I think it makes perfect sense. As of today, we hope this is going to be a good solution. We hope it's going to work well. We hope that there will be enough owners who choose to participate, whether it's on a per package basis or on a monthly basis, you know, which, you know, there will be options available. So we don't know how it's going to work out in the long run, but we're hoping that it will work out to be a benefit for all of the owners simply by having it available and having it be even more of a benefit for the owners who really want to use that service. And then the other thing that I want to add, and this is a question that I'm sure some of you are thinking, is, well, hey, we've been trying to get United States Postal Service to allow us to set up a, you know, post office box at, you know, in the middle of Johnson Canyon to have our U.S. mail delivered. So will this package delivery service allow us to combine that United States Postal Service in conjunction with this new delivery service? And the answer is no. So we're actually talking about two different things. We still want to get the post office to allow us to put in postal boxes in Johnson Canyon that will allow United States, you know, Postal Service to be delivered, make it easier for owners so you don't have to drive all the way into Kanab to get it, but instead you drive into Johnson Canyon, get your mail, and drive back. You know, maybe you do that once or twice a week. That's something that we're going to continue to work on behalf of all the owners. The package delivery service that Jennifer just described is going to be for UPS, FedEx, DHL, you know, Amazon, you know, all the other kinds of packages that people might want to have delivered to an address in Kanab, but it's not for United States, you know, Postal Service. So I just wanted to make sure everybody is clear on that. Okay, so I just wanted to add my 2 cents worth, and I'm done. And if anybody has any questions, now's the time. Okay, Jennifer, did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
Nope, that's it.
I just said,
all right,
may I just ask, what are people having delivered at the ranch? Is it people that are staying a long time? I can't even imagine why you want to have anything delivered. What? I guess I'm clueless.
The change in the way people are living their lives is that they're ordering online. And that's the same as for people that spend extended time at the ranch as it is for someone that has a bricks and mortar address. Speaking for myself, I probably order 25 to 30% of the stuff that I need for our household online. So it's just the way things are changing as to how you get the items you need. So it's a wide variety of things. That's a great question, Sally. And this is also going to be used for ranch deliveries, because I get a lot of ranch deliveries here at my house. And so we need a place for ranch deliveries so that, for example, when Kurt's in town, he can just go pick up the item at the package locker with his access code, and it's waiting there for him whether I'm at home to give it to him or not.
Sally, another example is that my husband and I are full-time travelers. We don't have a home address. And so for 4 to 6 months each year, we are at the ranch. That's where we live. And we've got no way of having packages delivered. that aren't deliverable to the post office. We have a post office box, but FedEx won't deliver there. So this is a solution for also the volunteer work campers, the guest workers that are coming out and working, cleaning cabins and helping Kurt. They need a place to have their packages delivered to as well.
Thank you, Sally. That was an excellent question. Thank you for asking that. Okay, and since Jennifer has completed her update and report, we're going to move on to Kurt Jacobson for our property management report. Take it away, Kurt.
Good morning, everyone. We have been drying up. There's still plenty of areas that are very muddy and slows progress down, but the pools and I have been working in cabin six, and the benches are done for the dining nook. All the wainscot's been stained in there. We sanded down and refinished all the cabinets in there, and they look great. And looking forward to finishing up in there on Monday. And then Tuesday we'll be on to cabin seven. I've been working on store inventory. If anybody has any suggestions in the store, I'm going to have a much greater inventory this year. And I'd be welcoming anybody's suggestions. We're working on setting up the garden, petting zoo, and gearing up for next season. And that's all I have today.
Thank you, Kurt. I've got one question. Last year, at the beginning of the year, I don't remember the exact dates, but you had let everybody know that we were going to be having a get-together work session to get the garden started. I know I participated in that. Cal and Kelsey from one of the lots up in Side Canyon near me. Cal and Kelsey, what's their last name? Betcher? I apologize. I forget their last name, but, you know, they showed up to help out, and some others did too. And I just wanted to ask, are you going to be sending out any kind of communication to all of the owners with, you know, kind of scheduled dates or anticipated dates for, you know, some activities like that that people might be able to participate in?
Absolutely. Actually, I'm compiling a list of projects that we can get volunteer help on. And when we get a little bit closer to Memorial Weekend, I'll be sending out a notice to everybody for who wants to come and help with the garden. And we'll also be looking this year for people throughout the summer to donate time to help with the garden also. This year I plan on spending more time at headquarters working on headquarters and the garden. We're hoping that last year Cindy Olson and her friends really came through, and we had lettuce up until November. We had spinach till November. We had beans and squash, and we got our first tomatoes, and it was really a great effort on Cindy Olson's part, and we're hoping to elaborate on that this year.
Got it. Thank you for that. One more follow-up question on that about ranch headquarters. I know some of the owners have asked about the condition of the corrals and the fencing and that kind of thing. I know many of our owners own horses, and they may, you know, want to try to, you know, come up and bring animals with them when they're coming to spend their time on the ranch. Just let everybody know, kind of give us an update on what your plans are for the corrals and fencing and that kind of thing around headquarters.
Well, what we started last year, we secured headquarters, fencing around headquarters and the 2.89 acres behind the ranch house. And the cattle company still has historically used, just for roundup purposes, pushing cattle through the 2.89 acres, which I am trying to eliminate so that we can do stuff out in that 2.89 acres, such as livestock, expanding the garden, orchard, that kind of stuff. And we're putting in an alleyway down the road, the service road. We're going to be adding a fence and a new gate to the well field. And that's going to help control the cattle there. The corrals during season are pretty much for the cattle company historically and coordinating with them. They don't use them that much, mostly just for roundup or when they're moving cows. Like last year, we had a lot of issues with not having grass. So some cows got shipped off to Oklahoma where they still are. And they'll be coming back. I expect this year we'll have better grass, but they don't use the corrals regularly. I'm working with Kevin Ballard and trying to work out a new design for the corral that's effective. And it is a big project, but it's also a very high dollar project. It's not something to just throw dollar bills at and then it's falling apart, basically. So the corrals are a project of themselves. But in the petting zoo areas, I'm planning on doing a lot of work in the petting zoo and store and fixing some stuff out in the garden area, fences out there. Does that answer your question?
Got it. Yep, got it. Thank you very much. So now we're going to open it up to anyone else, anyone on the call. Do you have any questions for Kurt regarding, property management at headquarters or anywhere else? Okay, I'll take that as a no. Thank you very much. So back to the agenda. The next item on the agenda is road maintenance and repairs, and I put in there specifically for the spring, but the reality is, we're talking about road maintenance and repairs for the ranch, not just in the spring, but, all year long. And John Harris is the individual on the board responsible for being for overseeing all of the road activities, road repairs, road improvements. And so, John is, I'll turn it over to John here in a second. But really, why I wanted to have this as a separate agenda item for our meeting today is very simple. The ranch is huge. We have over 100 miles of roads on the ranch. There is no way that we can do everything we want to do all the time. We have to prioritize things. We have a limited amount of time. We have a limited amount of money. Larry Clarkson is an absolute angel when it comes to contributing his time and efforts and equipment to maintaining the roads. John is an absolute angel. Norris Church has helped, many, many times in the past. And the reason I wanted to have this as a separate agenda item is the fact that I think it's critical that we get input from all of the owners, obviously everyone on the call today, in terms of what you think are or should be the priorities for the roads at the ranch, both in terms of maintenance and in terms of improvements. In terms of maintenance, I've had a lot of people talk to me personally and say, well, why can't we just go, throw some gravel down on the road? And for people that are not familiar with the way things work, I mean, if you've got a really muddy place on a road at the ranch, you go dump a bunch of gravel on it, literally have the ranch spend thousands and thousands of dollars. We could go put loads and loads and loads of gravel onto a muddy place, a muddy section of road. And if you don't do it at the right time of year, if you don't do it at the right, at the right opportunity, that gravel is just going to sink down into the mud. It's going to disappear. And the ranch just spent thousands and thousands of dollars for nothing. So, while it might seem like it's very simple, oh, why don't we just go do this or why don't we just go do that? there are a lot of other factors that come into play. For example, instead of just replacing a culvert that needs to be replaced in the current situation, maybe it makes more sense to actually move that culvert 20 yards away, put it in a better place, and make it bigger. You know, so it's not just a matter of saying, let's go fix this problem. It's also a matter of saying, how can we fix this problem in a way that it's not going to come back and we have to keep fixing it year after year after year? And so that is our goal, you know, on your behalf as a board. Yeah, we want to try to figure out how can we address the current issues on the roads, but at the same time, do whatever we can to eliminate those problems from coming back in the future. So with all of that as a background, I want to turn it over to John. John already has a plan in place for maintaining the roads. So, you know, we don't just wing it. You know, John has a plan for addressing all of the issues with the roads. So I want to let John share with all of us what the plans are for the coming year. And then I also want to open it up to all of the owners to get your input on what you think should be our priorities, not only for the coming year, but beyond. So, John, take it away.
All right. Well, we've had a pretty hard winter with snow up there, so I expect here in the spring when we get back, the roads are going to be a mess. So I'm probably going to have to address some of those with grading if it's not too muddy. But he mentioned some of my plans. So one of my main plans is culverts. I got to make them bigger and got to put more in different places throughout the ranch. And we've got some culverts that, as Mike said, are just in the wrong place right now because things change over the years. You know, when they were first put in years ago, they worked there, but weather throughout the years have changed the contour of things there, and so now we got to put them in different places. And so that's one of my big things here this year is getting culverts right size and right places. And of course, they always need to be graded. They're always rough, and we have a dry year like we have had. They just get beat to death, and some of our roads, a public comes in and they got an extra heavy use, and we have to keep maintaining those. But you know, it costs about $1,500 a day to get a grader out there. We can't do it all with our own. Some will say, well, why can't Kurt do this with our grader? Well, Kurt is very busy. He can't get all of them. And I have one complaint here that I saw that come up. Apparently we had an accident on the ranch. Somebody hit somebody on a blind curve. Well, I tell you, we got a lot of blind curves in these mountain roads out there. But I'm going to jump in here on the safety issue. We have a speed limit on a ranch of 25 miles an hour. That's maximum. That means 25 miles an hour or less. In other words, it's safe. It may not be safe sometimes to be driving at 25, but way too many people speed on the ranch. And we need to be mindful of that. Slow down, because you're going to come around the curve and you're going to hit somebody, and apparently that happened. Now, that's the only one that I know of in all the years I've been out there, somebody been hit like that. It's been reported to me anyway. I know that's a little off subject, but I wanted to get that in. If anybody has some questions right now on what they would like to see, I kind of give you a little overview of what I'm going to do there. I'm going to concentrate on culverts and straighten out the roads as much as I can. But remember this, some roads out there that the county owns, county shares with us on Meadow Canyon, for instance. And when we get on the county roads we have a Title V on, we cannot alter it. We can only maintain it. Anyway, anybody has some questions for me, please go ahead.
John Reed, you are unmuted. Did you have a question for John?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. John Harris, thank you very much for that. I want to add a couple of things. You know, John Harris just referenced speeding at the ranch. And that is a problem. It has been a problem. And I want to point out that it's not just guests who speed, it's owners who speed. So, and I will tell you.
Oh, boy.
I will tell you from personal experience that I was actually run off of the road on Meadow Canyon. I've been run off the road in Meadow Canyon. Fortunately, it was a place where I didn't go over the side of a cliff, but you know, there was a ditch, but I literally had to pull my vehicle off the road into the ditch to avoid having a front end collision. And I mean, I've experienced it personally. And all I can say is, you know, some people just drive fast and some people don't. And, you know, all we can do is, you know, encourage everybody to, you know, try to, you know, drive responsibly, and particularly in areas where there's a potential danger. Now, the one thing I want to add to that is this. There are blind curves at the ranch. There are areas where, you know, we can say today, this is a potential problem. And so one of the goals I have for this coming spring is to put up signing. It's also been suggested that we might be able to put up some of those great big mirrors. You know how you can put up a great big mirror to see what's around the corner if you are approaching a blind corner. So we have had some suggestions like that. We're never going to eliminate speeding. We're going to have new people. We're going to have guests. We're going to have people that have no connection to Deer Springs Ranch whatsoever. They're just out on the weekend for a joyride and they're exploring the area. So there's no way we can ever completely control what people are doing on the roads. But what we can do is we can do everything possible to at least, you know, mitigate potential problems. And the primary ways of doing that, in my opinion, are signing. And so one of the things that I want to do this year, I want to put more signing up to be very clear that, you know, you are approaching a blind curve. Slow down, you know, and try to do as many things as we can to try to improve the situation. You know, there may be some areas on the roads where we can literally just, you know, take out a little bit of road and, you know, make the road a little bit straighter and eliminate a blind corner. Larry Clarkson is probably the best person to be able to counsel us on the roads where that would make sense. And if it does make sense, then I think that's something we should do. But we're certainly not going to be able to do that on every single road up there. So we want to try to make it better. Now, the other thing that I'll share with everyone is this. You know, I've had owners tell me in the past, I don't want the roads to be straighter. I don't want the roads to be wider, because the straighter they are and the wider they are, the faster people are going to go. I mean, you're creating a racetrack. And so everybody has to understand there's not just one perspective on what's the right thing to do. you know, there are multiple perspectives on what, you know, what's going to be the right way to handle this. But again, at the very least, we need to try to, you know, improve the signage wherever we can. We need to try to, you know, eliminate, you know, known safety hazards where we can. And then, you know, again, try to continue to educate people, try to continue to make sure owners understand the fact that there is potential danger and we all need to be, you know, aware of it and, you know, drive accordingly. So.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm not sure if you're watching the chat, but Joe and Arlene McElroy posted an interesting concept that they just wanted to put out here. The question is, would it be appropriate for the ranch to consider dips in the road for washes, much like is done on Arizona highways, that allows water to run over the road for temporary situations rather than clogging culverts? And then I said it would also slow people down as well. So they asked that we put that out there for discussion as well.
Okay, that's a great suggestion. And I will turn it over to Larry Clarkson and John Harris to respond to that.
There are some dips in some of the ranch roads. For instance, upper Pipeline Canyon and a couple of spots in Slide Canyon where there are waterways. Unfortunately, if the next person grading the road takes out the waterways, then it's kind of counterproductive. Also, the type of soils that we have are not really super conducive to doing just the depressions and lower spots because they will erode and become impassable. The true solution is just to correctly size the culverts, put in big enough diameter culverts and long enough culverts that they're not, we're not in jeopardy. Right now there's a couple on, even on Meadow Canyon that you can easily fall in both sides because they're too narrow and too small. And then, obviously, we need to do a better job in the future to keep an ongoing maintenance. Too often, we fall into the mindset of, oh, we've put in a culvert, the problem is solved. Even dips in the road or culverts have to be maintained or they become a problem. So it's going to become more of an ongoing maintenance issue. And like John mentioned when he first started speaking, things have changed. Some water running where it historically has not run because of changes with topography. For instance, there's more water coming into Deer Springs Ranch right at the big iron gate at the forest boundary where historically all of that water came about 500 yards further to the west and into the Big Red Reservoir. Changes were made up in the forest, the Dixie National Forest. Their road system was changed. Water was diverted a different place, and therefore downstream we are experiencing higher volume of water right at the Iron Gate that has to be addressed, or we're going to continue to wash things out there and have a mess. Another thing that's very, very important is members and their contractors cannot put debris in washes that go downstream and plug up culverts. This past year with the big floods that occurred during August and September, two of our main problems in just below Joe Bose's place in between him and the A-frame cabin, and then where Crawford Canyon meets Meadow Canyon, both of those compromised culverts were a direct result of a ranch member filling washes with oak brush and debris that the first flash flood washes it downstream and plugs up culverts and makes a mess. So sometimes we are our own worst enemies, and sometimes people thinking they're doing something good and beneficial cause themselves or others big problems. So I think we're on the right track. John's doing a good job and making a plan, and I'll continue to work with him and making some of the suggestions. On the speeding, I think sometimes we don't realize that even when you're traveling 25 miles an hour and somebody else is traveling 25 miles an hour toward you, that's a combined, you know, speed of 50 miles an hour. And that's pretty fast approaching speed when you're not paying attention or come around the corner. I have continued as I work back and forth to take out trees or branches that block view and open things up. Just this winter, as I've cleared snow along Broad Hollow and some places in Slide Canyon, I have gone ahead and taken out a few little kinks and a few little trees. But I think people don't comprehend and realize earlier in Jennifer's presentation on funding and money, when she mentioned that there's a considerable amount of money in for road projects, that is a considerable amount of money, but when you start moving heavy equipment and doing projects, it goes really, really fast. For example, so far this year, I have personally spent $13,000 at Deer Springs Ranch clearing snow. Some of you have been out there. Some of you have not been out there. Those of you that have been out there and are aware where snow has been removed, snow was removed to the Upper Canyons, Meadow Canyon, Broad Hollow, Slide Canyon, Hidden Canyon, Cowpath, Mountain Lion Trail, and Highway to Heaven. And of all of those places, Mike Brown contracted with me to clear Highway to Heaven to get to his place for $1,000. Jeff and Tina Collins and Brent Fulmer contributed to snow removal on Broad Hollow. Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association contributed to the clearing of the upper, to get to the upper cabin and partially on Meadow Canyon. But just so people know and have a comprehension, $13,000, and I've received less than $2,000 from any or all sources paying in. So you can thank those that provide me jobs, and I keep those jobs open so I continue to work. Everybody else gets a benefit from that. That being said, that's a two-edged sword. When I clear the road, it also opens it up to where ranch members and others drive when they really should not drive. So it's easy to identify when you shouldn't be driving on the ranch roads. If you're making a rut, you shouldn't be driving on a ranch road. Just because the snow is cleared doesn't mean you should be driving on that road. When I clear the roads, it basically changes access from mid-April to mid-January. But in April, you shouldn't be driving on the roads and making ruts. Or in January, you shouldn't be driving on the roads making ruts. If you've got to drive when it's frozen, if it's early or late, I told somebody the other day that I think anybody that makes ruts on the roads should be the one that has to fix those ruts in the roads, whether it's with a pick and a shovel or with a tractor or with dollar bills. But right now, I've heard three or four comments from people about how rough the roads are, and they are rough because people have traveled them when they should not have traveled them. And I'll go into more of that when it's my turn, but I wanted to jump in and kind of throw in with John's explanation of road construction and projects for this coming year. It's going to be an ongoing thing. It's not something we're going to take care of this spring or this year. It's going to be as big, like Mike mentioned, there's over 100 roads, and you can't throw enough dollars at it to take care of it in 1 month or 6 months or 6 years. It'll be an ongoing process for years.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. One of the other comments in the chat section is is concrete in a dip too expensive? And I love this kind of interaction because that's exactly what we want to have happen, is we want to have owners make suggestions and recommendations and ask questions like, how can we all work together to try to come up with the best possible solutions? And one of the things that I wanted to add in terms of, you know, having a dip in the road as a solution is the fact that, you know, many people don't understand that in many places on the ranch, including up where my lot is up in Slide Canyon, the dirt is not dirt. It's actually clay. I own a Ford F-250 four-wheel drive, and I bought that after I bought my lot specifically so that I could have a nice big truck with four-wheel drive that, in my mind, would allow me to get anywhere I wanted to go on the ranch. And I've only been stuck in that one time, and I got stuck up, you know, trying to get up to my lot. Actually, I was trying to get down, but, you know, there is an area where up in Slide Canyon, off of the main road, you go onto a little side road, and you go down, and then you go up. And at the bottom of that, it's clay. And I was coming down, and I thought I had enough. You know, I just wasn't aware that it was even going to be a problem in the first place. That's all part of learning, you know, what you need to learn about Deer Springs Ranch. But bottom line is, my wife and I were in our truck, and I got into the bottom of that depression, and my wheels just started spinning. And I could not get out of that. I ended up, you know, fortunately, another owner was going by. I was out there trying to gather brush from the local area. I was trying to, you know, shove branches underneath my tires to try to get some traction to get out of there. But there are many areas on the ranch, I'm sure it's not just in my area, where it's not just about what you would consider to be quote unquote normal, you know, road maintenance or normal, you know, road improvements. But as Larry said, we have to be aware of what those current conditions are and try to come up with solutions for the long term. In my opinion, I think putting concrete in the bottom of a depression is a brilliant idea. You know, the question then becomes, you know, what would that cost? And then the other question becomes, what happens if there's a great big flood and it washes out that, you know, concrete support at the bottom of that gully? You know, so again, I love the fact that we have a suggestion for, well, what if we put concrete at the bottom of a depression? And that actually might be a good solution in certain places. And so thank you for that suggestion. Okay, any additional comments or suggestions?
Mike, before we leave,
I would just like to add.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. I'd like to add to Larry's comment there about people driving when they shouldn't be. I've had people to say, well, you know, I have property out here and I want to come up here and I want to drive on it. And in other words, they're basically saying, I don't care. If I make ruts, it belongs to me, and he's got a vehicle that'll make it, and so I'm going to make it. Well, that's at everybody else's expense. We don't live in a city. We chose this beautiful place up here to live, but we're not going to have the same roads and the stop signs and all the right-of-ways that we have in town. I don't want them. I'd have stayed in town if that's what I wanted. And so people just say, by doggies, I'm going to drive anyway just because I can get up there. Well, that's a big expense, and it's a wrong attitude. And Larry is absolutely right about people throwing stuff in washes there when they trim trees. They have the idea that, well, it slows down the water and it'll slow down erosion. Well, at some point, erosion is going to take it downstream. And when it gets there, we have plugged culverts. And then we have overflowed culverts. And then we have road washouts. And the concrete idea might be a good idea, but when we have a heavy flood, it just washes out everything around it. Now we've got a piece of teeter-tottering concrete there that we just paid a minimum of $2,000 to get the ready mix company to come out there just for the concrete. And so, and I can't say too much about speed. Safety is one that was given to me, and they're just driving too fast, and people got their come out there with their teenagers and younger riding quads and such,
and
two or three of them on it, and they just let them go. The parents are not with them. They're driving like a bat out of hell, you know, and the kids are going to get killed one of these days, and I don't want to be one of them that they hit, because I don't want that burden on me. I don't know how we need to put up some signage, but people need to pay attention to it. They write tickets all the time. The Highway Patrol has writes a lot of tickets. We have plenty of speed limit signs, but everybody seems to want to break the law. We're not going to be able to change that much, and we're not going to be able to straighten out everything. I'm being redundant, so I'll just shut up. So anyway, back to you.
Mike.
Thank you, John. We appreciate it. We also appreciate all the work you do on the roads. I know you've been doing it for many years, and we all know it's not a job that has an end. It's a job that instead is unending. So thank you for continuing to work on the roads on our behalf. Cindy, did you have something to add?
I do. You were talking about signage, and for as long as I've been on this board, we have been talking about signage and not doing anything about signage. So I have a couple of questions. And first, let me say I'm perfectly willing to join in on this if this is something we want to do, but would it benefit us to put together a committee specifically for getting signage put up out at the ranch this year, please, this year, because I don't want to be talking about this again next year and talking about some other accident. I think we might need a committee and not just say, hey, John, this is your problem, because there hasn't been anything in the budget worksheet. There's nothing mentioned for signage, so we currently don't have that budgeted. So I think we need some multiple people probably on top of, okay, how are we going to get the money for this? What signs are needed? How do we get them put in? And, you know, have some point people on this instead of every meeting we talk about it and then nothing happens.
So let me, first of all, thank you, Cindy. And I agree with you 100%. I do want to correct you on one thing. We actually do have money allocated for signage in the budget. I think the dollar amount is $2,000, but I 100% agree with your suggestion that we should put together a committee and not just keep talking about it, but actually do something about it. And so, Jennifer, if you would, you know, there may be owners who are not able to be on our call with us this morning. If you would, Jennifer, I would appreciate it if you would, and I don't know that you need to send out a separate email or if you have something else that might be going out to all of the owners in terms of email communication in the near future. But I would like to follow up on Cindy's suggestion by letting all of the owners know that would like to put together a committee for, you know, any owners who would like to participate so that we can actually, you know, create some signing, identify the appropriate areas where the signing should be placed, and actually get that done in the next 2 or 3 months. I think that's a wonderful suggestion. Jennifer, is that a reasonable request of you? Is that something that, that we can do?
Yeah, I'd like to actually put it together as a survey because I'd like to get it out to members in the next Member Matters email and ask them not only to identify areas they think need signs, but what type of signs need to go in that area, and then to raise their hand and volunteer to be on that committee. So I'll put that in the March Member Matters email, and we'll get that moving forward then shortly after.
Mike?
I have a comment.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
It's back to me. This is John. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. On the signage thing, yeah, it's true. We've talked about it. We also got signage all up and down Meadow Canyon there about speed limits. If we're going to put up signage that has spend that kind of spend the money and the time to put it up, what are we going to do about enforcing it? Because they're not paying any dang attention to it right now. And I understand the public coming out there doing things, but if we can't get our own membership out there to obey to the signs and at least set an example, I mean, we got to do something to enforce it. And I just don't see the point in spending a bunch of money on something and letting people get away with it. We need to do it for legal reasons, if nothing else. So I'm all for putting up the signage. So don't get me wrong here, because if we had to go to court over it, at least we had the right signage up when somebody gets hurt. But we need to be thinking, and I'm putting this out there. People be thinking, okay, now how are we going to enforce these signage when we have our own people out there? We can't do much about the public, but I think we can do something about our own people that are driving like a bat out of hell out there and ignoring the signage. As I too have been run off the road. My wife been run off the road. Brent Fulmer, I know incidents that's happened to him, and nothing that I've even tried to turn around and catch somebody that was a member out there and couldn't catch him.
I think that's why we need the committee to come back to the board.
All right.
Thanks, John. And
that's it.
We all share your frustration. And all I can say is, you know, we're not going to have Deer Springs Ranch, you know, police cars policing it. It's never going to happen. And I'd say there's two things. Number one is, just like we talk about fire danger on a regular basis, we need to talk about road danger on a regular basis at all of our meetings, just to keep it top of mind. And then number two, if we do see somebody creating a problem, then, you know, I know Brent has personally, you know, talked to people one-on-one and asked them to slow down. I'm sure other people have done the same thing. So, you know, if we can handle things on a one-on-one basis, that's great. But at the same time, we've all heard the stories about road rage and somebody getting out of their car with a pistol and blowing somebody else away because they're all pissed off about something that happened on the road. So I will never advocate an owner trying to confront another owner, you know, as the, you know, solution to this problem. At the same time, if we do have an owner that has a history of violating, you know, speed limits and, you know, going too fast over and over again, we do have other recourse that we could bring to bear. It's my hope that we'll never have to get there. But again, I don't want it to be one owner confronting another owner and potentially creating a hazard for themselves personally. I think our first step is signing. It's our responsibility to control what we can control. So let's get that done. Then let's see what happens. Hopefully we'll get positive results. That's what we're all hoping for. And if nothing else, we'll at least minimize the number of people who are violating it, and then improve the situation, and then deal with the exception on an exception basis, rather than thinking we're going to have some kind of a system to control everybody. The signage will control everybody, and then we'll have to address the exceptions on a case-by-case basis. That's my opinion. Kathy, you had something to add.
I just wanted to add that when we get the committee together, they might want to be aware that the county roads, like Scoot and Pond, I'm not sure the actual agreement with the Middle Canyon about putting signage, but they are particular about signs going up. So I just wanted to be aware before we start going to the expanse and putting them on county roads where they'll take them down.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's excellent. I would not have even thought of that if you and John hadn't brought that up. So that is definitely something that's very important for us to take into consideration as we're putting our plans together. Okay, any other comments regarding the roads or so? Well, actually, before I open it up to everybody else, I have one other thing I wanted to add. And Jeff Mickelson, I think, Jeff, you're on the call. You might have something to add to this, but we talked last year, I think it was actually at the annual meeting, about the fact that, and I think Dale had mentioned that, you know, he was aware that we'd had lots and lots of road signs put up or manufactured in the past for different road names on the ranch that had never actually been installed. And I think Dale asked the question is like, you know, there should be 30 signs somewhere with road names on them, and we don't know where they're at. We don't know why they didn't get installed. And so I think as part of our committee, in addition to just having safety signs put up, that we should also take some time to think about where can we put actual road name signs that would make sense. Where can we put directional signs that make sense? I spoke with Jeff and Tina Collins last year. Jeff and Tina Collins have a really nice place that they've created. It's got a beautiful, you know, entryway. And they told me that just because of the way that the roads approach their lot, that it's very common for them to be, you know, in their cabin on their lot and have somebody drive up their driveway with their, you know, bright headlights flashing, you know, through their windows saying, you know, how do I get here or how do I get there? I mean, they're literally on Jeff and Tina's lot because the road, the person that was driving up their driveway thought they were still on the road. And I'm sure Jeff and Tina are not the only ones who've had that experience. And so I think, you know, again, this is all part of going from where we were in the past 40 years to where we want to be for the next 40 years. That, you know, I personally love the fact that we're out in the middle of nowhere. I don't want street signs on every corner. I don't want street lights on every corner. That's not what we're talking about. What we are talking about is putting signs up in an appropriate place that look the appropriate way. And in my mind, I'm thinking when I go into a national park, if I go into Zion, if I go into Bryce, if I go into the Grand Canyon, they have wonderful signs that look like they belong there. They're in a national park and it says, you know, XYZ Road this way, whatever it is. So I'm not suggesting that we have, you know, city signing or, you know, anything like that. What I am suggesting is that we should have appropriate rural signing that's either similar to national park signing or something that's unique to Deer Springs Ranch, but something that would improve people's ability to not only understand where they're at, but also understand how to get to where they want to go. You know, I think we owe that to Jeff and Tina. I think we owe that to, you know, everybody else. And again, that's my opinion, but I'll open it up for everybody else to, you know, provide your thoughts and your opinions.
Mike, this is Jeff. There, we do have a Slide Canyon sign right at the end of our driveway, but people, for whatever reason, still think it's up our driveway. We even had somebody come up a month ago or something that was arguing with Tina that, no, this is the way to slide. Look, my map says.
So, this is Jeff, Vance. Can I say
Jeff
something?
Hang on just one second, Vance.
Okay.
And all I can say, hang on one second, Vance. All I can say to you, Jeff, is you can't fix stupid. So, we can do everything possible as the ranch to try to improve things, but at the end of the day, you know, some people are just going to ignore the signs, which, you know, they do anyway. But we can try to improve it, and that's what I'm suggesting. The other thing that I would add is, and this thought just occurred to me, that in addition to putting the signing in the first place, the other thing that we should consider, especially in the areas where we have critical signing, in other words, you know, the, you know, fish ponds this way and, you know, Lick Canyon Wash this way, you know, in those areas where we do have critical junctures, we should also install solar lighting that actually points at that sign so that at nighttime, you know, we have a light on that sign, because a lot of people are up there driving around at nighttime, and if we don't have a lighted sign in a critical area, they wouldn't see it anyway. So, again, just one suggestion for the committee. In addition to putting up signing, and I'm not suggesting that this would be needed on every sign, but certainly on the more critical ones, we could put on a solar light literally attached to the sign, pointing at the sign, so we don't have to worry about electricity, but it would allow people to see that sign at nighttime. Okay, Vance, go ahead.
So the reason that people are winding up on your lot, Jeff, is the same reason that for years and years, when Brent was the only person there in the winter, is that you've got the most traffic on your road this time of year. People are following the road. They're following all the tire tracks are going this way. So that's, you can sign it to death and they're still going to do that. But you can, all we can do is all we can do.
Yeah, tell me about it. We have like 18 signs going up our driveway, and they still keep coming.
I know, because they're following the most trafficked road, which is yours this time of year.
Right.
Yeah. This is John. They do the same thing with mine. They come up my road all the time and go around my loop and go out. But Jeff and Tina's there. They got the road going up there, and right, Jeff and Tina are right there when it changes to a National Forest Road there, and it's better maintained there. They're going to take that nice looking one over that rougher looking one that's not nearly as well maintained as that road cutting across going over to Slide. they like the looks of the better road.
We had a thought that we should at least travel that lower section so they at least get a little confused which way to go.
Jeff, all I can say is what I said before. Obviously, you already heard that, but. You know, we all have the option as owners to put a gate across the front. And I'm not saying you should do that, and I'm not saying you should have to do that, but I am saying that, you know, that's an option. And if it continues to be a problem that you simply choose not to deal with, then, you know, at some point in the future, you may decide that, you know, instead of having to deal with this on an ongoing basis, that it's, although it's a pain in the butt for you personally, and I understand that, that's why I don't have a gate. Well, I have a kind of a gate on my lot. It's easy for me to stop and take off and put back on, which I do on a regular basis. But, I'm not suggesting that you should have to put a gate to solve this problem. But again, I'm just letting you know, just like all of the other owners, we all have the option of putting a gate on the front of our driveway if we feel that it's necessary. So, unless anybody has anything else to add, I think we should probably move on.
This is John.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I put a gate on mine for that reason.
Okay.
But...
Go ahead.
This is John Reed. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a place in Salt Lake called NPS that has signage, and so like I did, I got a sign in there, and they're pretty reasonable. It says dead end, and so I put a dead end on mine that way people know that that's not the main road, and if anybody wants, you can email me or something, and I'll look for one for you. So that's all.
Okay,
that's
no
a great
problem.
Suggestion. Thank you for that. Go ahead.
I do have a dead end sign up there on my place, but I also put up a gate that I normally leave it open, but I have it, and because I got a gate there and it looks different, I don't get nearly as much traffic even with it's open. But just simply because, well, it doesn't look like a road, county road now, or ranch road. But
thank you for that.
I'll take that info on the signage. Thank you.
Mike?
Yes, go ahead, Larry.
Whenever, if there's a road committee, a sign committee put together and more signs go up at critical intersections and different places, they need to be placed such that the roads can continue to be graded and maintained without constantly fighting the signs.
Understood. I agree. Jeff Nicholson, did you have anything you wanted to add in terms of signing?
Well, many, many years ago, the board had paid money to have road name signs and lot number signs created, and they were stacked in the tractor shed and just sat there. So in 2016, when I was on the board, I asked if I could go and install them. So as I'm out there, excuse me, as I'm out there driving around, if I see a sign or a road that doesn't have a name on it, and I happen to have that name in my vehicle, I'll stop and put it in. So over the past 5, 6, 7 years, I've been doing that. I have about 50 left. But as I did that, I realized some of the sign quality was not the best. So the signs I put up have either fallen apart because they were made out of compressed sawdust or other poor material. And so you'll see the sign, the vertical signpost, but no sign name on it. So I'm just doing that because I'm out and about and I drive those roads a lot. And if I see one, I have an inventory of them. They're in the back of my Suburban. When I see one that needs to be put up and I'm on that road, I'll do it. Same thing with lot number signs. But, it's just a matter of having the sign names in the right places so that people know where they are.
Okay, thank you for that. And, obviously, we're going to be putting a committee together. If you have the time and the willingness to participate in that committee, it would be greatly appreciated. If you don't have the time, then I certainly understand that. But, if at the very least, I would ask you to provide the information to that signing committee with what you still have in terms of inventory and have that be, part of our solution for the next few months at least.
I can do that.
Thank you very much. Okay. Well, you know what? I think we've had, you know, probably enough on roads and signing. Unless anybody has any final comments, now's the time.
Yeah, this is Joe. As far as the signs that Jeff Mickelson was putting up for the names of the streets, those signs were, I purchased the material for those signs. They were made out of a special sign material that I was told was material. And Ken Lent had them sent up to his area. He had them cut and engraved, sent them back down to me, and I had them painted. And, yes, they were stacked in the storage room for years, and thankfully Jeff has been installing them. But originally they were good sign material listed that I bought, but it only lasts so long anyhow. So that's all I got to say.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that, Joe. Appreciate it. John Harris, any final comments?
No, I'm good, unless somebody wants to ask me something, but I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, well, let's move on. We're kind of long at this point, but I think it's been a very good discussion, so I appreciate everybody's staying involved, and we'll try to wrap it up here. So we're on to the last item on the agenda, which is just a brief report of area responsibility by each board member. I'll start. I only have one thing to add, and that is I mentioned it during our board meeting last month, but I'm going to be putting together an invitation for a meeting at the ranch. We've decided that the best month to do this is going to be June. So we're going to schedule a meeting in conjunction with our board meeting in June. And instead of just having a board meeting and then being done, I want to expand that board meeting in June to include some additional time and some additional topics, both on behalf of the new members and also for existing members, to provide some additional information that will answer questions that all of the new owners have and that many existing owners may still have. You know, what can I do on my lot for water? What are my options? Okay, well, I could drill a well. You know, I could put in a rain catchment system. I could haul water from headquarters. You know, what are all of my options for solving this water problem? And, you know, what's some general information, general cost estimates on what that would take, what that would look like. Same thing for solar. Same thing for, you know, a variety of other, you know, potential topics that everybody who buys a lot out at Deer Springs Ranch will have questions about. And my hope is that prior to that meeting, we'll have existing owners who already have that knowledge, who already have that experience, who are willing to share that knowledge and experience with other owners and in particular with the new owners. That might mean being available during a question and answer session. That might mean putting together just kind of a one-page summary of, well, this is what I've done on my lot, and this is when I did it, and this is what it cost at that point. But basically trying to put together some detailed and specific answers and options to provide everybody with, you know, solutions or potential solutions for their situation. I mean, what do I do about getting how do I get a storage container delivered? What's the cost of a 20-footer? What's the cost of a 40-footer? You know, how do I gravel my driveway? There's 100 different things. And I'm not suggesting that we try to tackle everything, but instead, you know, I'd like to identify the, you know, 4, 5, 6 most critical questions that owners are going to have and try to come up with solutions. And again, you know, who could I hire to put in my septic system? Well, I personally hired Larry Clarkson, and I was happy to do it. He did everything start to finish, permits, the whole nine yards, and all I had to do was write a check. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, we should, you know, be endorsing or recommending people, but, you know, I know Kathy Pierce's son also does construction work up at the ranch. Larry obviously does. Maybe there's other people who do. And again, what I'm talking about is just putting together resources, information that all owners can have access to, and then they take it from there. It's up to them to, you know, try to figure out additional answers or, you know, get additional information, you know, and, you know, I just want to create kind of a format where we as ranch owners can help each other and in particular new owners with some information and suggestions that they would never have heard otherwise. When I bought my lot 5 years ago, I can't tell you how many hours I spent online. I was researching solar systems, off-grid living, you know, all these kinds of things. I spent countless hours researching all this stuff online. And then finally I got smart and said, you know, there are people up at Deer Springs Ranch. They've already done this. You know, I don't have to go try to figure it out. I mean, there may be some things I want to figure out, but, you know, I shouldn't have to start from scratch because I'm joining a community of owners, you know, many of whom have been up there for 30 or 40 years. So, you know, let me start with a baseline knowledge of what's happened before me, and then, you know, I'll take it from there. And that's what I'm suggesting, and that's what I'm hoping for. So, again, this is just kind of a heads up to let you know what I'm thinking and what I'm proposing. You know, if we put something, well, we will put something together. You know, we may only have 5 people who want to participate. We may have 50 people who want to participate. But whatever it is, it's something that I think is very important, and I want to try to make that happen in June. Okay, so any questions about that before we move on? Okay, so next on the list, Mr. Kurt Jacobson, do you have anything to add? Kurt, are you there?
I'm here. That's it, Mike.
Okay, Kurt has nothing to add. Cindy, you are next. Take it away.
Hi, thanks, Mike. There's not a lot to add at this point on the volunteer situation. I need to get together with Jennifer and Mariah and find out what I need to do to contribute to getting that volunteer page up on the new website, number one. As far as I know, Kevin and Cindy are planning. Hi, Kevin and Cindy. I can see you. Are planning to stay on as work campers through at least part of April. Is that, we still good there? Great. And I'm talking right now to somebody that'll be coming up for at least a couple months, possibly the whole summer. And advertisements are going to start going into the work camper websites. That's going to start this week. So that's all I've got.
Any Thank questions? You very much, Cindy. And Jennifer, I'm sorry, Jennifer, I'm seeing lots and lots of good information on the chat, on the sidebar here. Is there a way for you to capture that and just, you know, send that out to all of us who are participating in the call today?
It's recorded as part of the audio and video. And it's funny because Vance beat you to it. He and I have been messaging behind the scenes. He's asking if we can put the chat transcript up on the website where we put the recording of the meeting. The biggest problem with that, I mean, we can definitely put the transcript of the chat up there. The biggest problem is sometimes the comments don't include context for what's being discussed in the audio. So they're a little bit confusing to post just as a transcript. Cindy refers to the chat transcript, and includes that in her minutes summary because she's so thorough and detailed. So that is definitely something that is integrated into what is put on the website between the minutes and the audio recording.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much for that.
Is there any questions about my area of responsibility? Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. And next is Mr. Joe Bose. Joe, take it away.
I'm pretty much caught up. I don't have anything new to add. Everything is waiting for spring to open.
As are we all.
That's all I got.
Okay, John Harris.
I have nothing. I think you've heard enough from me today.
Okay, thank you, John. Again, we really appreciate all your efforts up at the ranch. And Kathy Pierce, take it away, Kathy.
All I have to say is we've had some people, members that have actually been using the cabins, the lower cabins. And so I know that Linda, she was there for a week. And so there's people that are enjoying Deer Springs Ranch through the winter. And I know we're all waiting for the melted snow so we can go up and enjoy our own places. That's all I have.
Thank you, Kathy. And I think my wife showed me something on the Facebook page. My wife is on that, but I'm not. But I think she shared something with me about the fact that you guys were up there on New Year's this year like you normally try to do. Is that correct?
Yes, we were up there for about 5 days. It was snow going in, so we didn't tear any roads up. We've always gone up there every year and set our goals and unplugged for the beginning of the year, and it's wonderful. We love it. So it was great, and we didn't get stuck, but there was a couple of spots that, you know, the snow was kind of thick and about 3 inches of ice. So when it's just snow, it's not always still capable of getting in and out, but it was beautiful. You there? That's it.
I think we lost Mike.
Yeah, Mike locked up. So
okay,
Kathy has left. Larry's
back.
Okay.
Are you back, Mike?
Can you hear Jennifer? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. My computer just recycled. It's like for whatever reason. So. Thank you, Kathy, for that, and I just want to tell you I'm jealous. I can't wait until I have things set up on my lot where I can go up there and be inside with a nice warm fire and look outside at 6 inches of snow. My wife and I got married in Alaska. All of our kids were born in Alaska. I lived up there for many, many years, and I have no problem being out in the middle of nowhere in the middle of winter, as long as I have a nice wood stove and four insulated walls around me. So I'm jealous.
Yeah, that's great.
And thank you for that, Kathy. And so Larry, you are last up in terms of an update, that something that you haven't already talked about during our meeting today.
So, just a real quick update on am I muted? Oh, there we go. Just to let Cindy know, I stopped by the RV sites and kind of reviewed where we are and what we need to do. Had intended to get out there this week, but ran into three or four family problems. And so this next week, we'll get back out and start getting those other two RV sites ready for your work campers. Other than that, I think we've kind of gone over almost everything else that we need to talk about to this point. Oh, what kind of cookies on the menu this year, Cindy? That was my only question.
You tell me.
Let's try an oatmeal raisin cookie.
You got it.
Okay.
All right. Well, Thank you very much. Appreciate it. So before we're done, I want to just open it up to all of the owners who are participating in our call today. Again, thank you for participating. And if anyone does have any final comments or any final questions prior to us wrapping up, now's the time. Yeah, Jeff, we'll establish the date for the March board meeting. That's our final thing. So, Jennifer, let's go ahead and do that now. What is the second Saturday in March?
The 12th. And I just want to put it out there. I'm going to be out of the country March 5th and 12th. So if you would like to take on running the Zoom portion of the meeting and all the coordination, Mike, you are welcome to do that if you want to schedule the meeting for the 12th. If you want me involved, the 19th is my choice.
There's a good chance I'll be out of the country. I suggest that,
too, because I'll be out of town.
Yeah, I'll be out of town the 12th.
I'll be out of the country.
I think it's pretty obvious. I think it's pretty obvious what the answer to that question is going to be. Okay, so let's talk the 19th. How does that work for everybody?
Great.
Cindy, I'll do secretary for you on the 19th. How about that?
Oh, bless you. Bless you. You'll get cookies, too.
Whoa.
Okay.
Whoa. That's huge. Jennifer, you just won the gold medal.
If you move it for me, I'll cover for Cindy.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay, so Jeff, the answer is, and everybody else, the 19th of March will be our next board meeting. Okay, any other questions?
10 a.m.
Yeah, oh yeah, same time. Same bat time, same bat channel. I'm sorry, I'm showing my age here. Well, again, Larry, you're unmuted. Did you have something to add?
No, sir.
Well, one quick thing since you unmuted yourself. When is your spring trip to Alaska scheduled? Do you have those dates?
It will be mid-May.
All right, mid-May. Cool.
Yeah.
And again, I'm jealous as well. Okay, so we are officially done, and I just want to say one last time, thank you to everybody on the call. I am just so thankful to be part of a community of owners who are so willing to be involved and so generous with their time and their money and their efforts. You know, I think Deer Springs Ranch is the epitome of what life should be in America. You know, it's not, you know, one group against another group. It's not one group saying that, hey, I am underserved and I need to be served more. It's a bunch of people who have a love for what we do and who are willing to put that love into action with efforts and money and time. And I just could not be more happy that I made that decision 5 years ago. My wife and I made that decision to be part of this community. So thank you again to everybody. Appreciate your time and efforts. And if we don't talk before, then we'll talk again on March 19th. And have a great Saturday afternoon.